Have you ever wondered, is it do or make? Is it make a presentation? Is it do a question? Is it make a question? Whatever. I'm imagining that this could possibly be an area that's just one of those things that's just really annoying about English, unfortunately. Which, what do we use with do? What do we use with make? You may know already that actually there are a lot of exceptions with this one, but how can I actually start to understand this a little bit more? Well, today I want to try and get this topic a little bit clearer for you, and I'm going to try and break it down for you and give you some clear categories that you can work with, so you can almost essentially build a map of do and make to try and help you get this right once and for all. So hopefully after this, you can feel a little bit more confident. Of course, we'll also talk about the exceptions as well, because there are ones. And obviously, the most important thing is that we're going to be looking at this from a business perspective, because those are the things that you're going to be using on a daily basis. So that's where we're going to be coming at this from. So that is what's on the agenda today. And don't forget to stay until the end, where I'm going to talk about a business expression that maybe you don't know, but might come up. Welcome to Anna Wittuen's Business English Podcast. My name is Anna, and I've designed this podcast for international professionals who want to speak more and speak better. Whether you're based in Spain, like me, maybe you're in Portugal, Japan, America, Australia, Mexico, I really hope that you can take something away from these episodes that you can implement and put into practice in your day-to-day work. That is the goal of this podcast. That is the objective, to help you improve the way that you speak and just give you the confidence to speak more when you're at work. If you love the podcast, I highly recommend that you sign up to the Anna with Two N's newsletter. I send the newsletter every week after the episode, and it's basically a short and sweet summary of all the tips that I've talked about, and it's the only place that you're going to get a written copy of what I talk about in the episode. A lot of people find this really useful, and you've told me you find it really useful for learning the words that I talk about, having a bit of a recap and a refresh. You want to get your hands on that, then sign up to the newsletter. The link is in the description box. If you want to help support the podcast even more, you can tell a friend or a colleague about the podcast, somebody else who you think could benefit from these episodes. You can also leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts or a rating on Spotify. I know that it's a little bit different on other platforms. And if you do leave me a review or rating, make sure that you take a screenshot and send me it as a DM or as an email, and I will give you a free training in business listening. Finally, you can donate to the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee. This helps support me as a creator and the costs I have for running this podcast. It is a free podcast and it will always be free. So if you want to support me there, I will leave the link in the description box. And just before we move on, I would like to say a really big thank you to someone. Unfortunately, you didn't leave your name, so I don't know what your name is, but it's someone. And you actually bought me 5 coffees. Thank you so much. I'm extremely grateful, and thank you very much for your generosity, and really, really appreciate your support. So thank you so much. Okay, well, shall we move on and have a look at our main topic for today? What I'd like to do as well is, in today's episode, I'd like to go into depth into do, and then in a future episode, we'll come back and we'll have a look at the options with make, just to split it up a bit and also not to rush too much. So today in the episode, we'll focus on the categories with do, and then in a couple of episodes time, we'll come back and have a look at some of the options with make. The inspiration for this episode actually came because I've been looking at this with quite a number of people recently, and it seems to just be something that's popping up all the time. So I thought, well, perfect. Let's talk about it today, and I can share it with you as well. Now, I imagine that sometimes, as I said in the introduction, it's like, it seems like a simple choice. It's like a 50% option. Is it do or make? And maybe you've been in a situation where you're just like, okay, I don't know. So I'm just going to go with do or make. And one thing I would like to say, just as a kind of disclaimer at the beginning, is if you say do rather than make, or you mix them up, it's really not the end of the world, because that's a kind of mistake where, okay, it's not correct, you're right, but it doesn't stop me understanding what you're saying. If you say, for example, I do a lot of mistakes, rather than I make a lot of mistakes, there's one that I can tell you already. That's one of the classics that people get mixed up with. Well, I mean, I can still understand what you're saying, right? It's really not the end of the world. Sure, we want to get it right, and if we can, fantastic. But you have to remember that not all mistakes are weighted the same. And I remember I was telling a few people about this last week. You can't view every single mistake as the same. It's just not. Some mistakes are, let's say, more serious in the sense that if you make that mistake, it's more difficult for me to understand you. But I can understand you if you say do a mistake or make a mistake. It's just not exactly the right version. Does that make sense? Now, before we jump into this, let me just ask you some questions and you can think about this where you are. What do you already know about do and make? You might already know some stuff. There might be some, or you might have already read some grammar things. A lot of people have, really, so I wouldn't be surprised if you have as well, about how to categorize some areas of do and make. So what do you already know? How does it work in your language? So is there, for example, I work with a lot of people who are Spanish speakers and they have one verb, right? They have one verb for do and make, which is obviously where the mistake comes from, because if you've got one verb for it in Spanish, but in English there's two, that automatically makes it more complicated. So how does it work in your language? And are there any phrases with do or make that you already know, or perhaps that you use frequently? The key thing to keep in mind here is that, number one, there are a lot of exceptions. So I'm going to try today and give you some clear categories that you can work with, because I think that really helps in order for you to almost build a map in your head of do and make. We can agree that there are some exceptions, but we're going to try to categorize the ones that we can to kind of make it a little bit easier to digest. But there are a lot of exceptions, and we need to keep that in mind. So some of them just don't make sense. And I'm really sorry, but there's not a rule that I can give you for that. If you're somebody that likes, you know, rules and formulas and equations, unfortunately, some of them just don't make sense. And we just have to live with that. As I said before, some languages like Spanish have the same verb. Therefore, automatically, it makes it difficult, because in English we have two. And again, you know, it's not a huge mistake if you mix them up. We want to get them right, but it's not the end of the world, really. I see a lot of people panicking and freaking out about smaller, minor mistakes, which are also important, but you have to kind of apply some method of thinking about mistakes. It's like if you have a project at work, for example, you've got some problems that are much bigger and much more serious than other problems. You're like, okay, it doesn't really matter. I would like to do that a bit better, but whatever, I haven't got time, or we're just going to have to go with it as is. Well, it's a little bit like that with English. It's like you've got some bigger problems that you need to solve as a priority. So for me, it's more important if you can do things like have clear pronunciation. That's important, because that's, if you have that or not, is going to help me understand you. If you're not clear when you're pronouncing things, that means that I might not be able to get your message. If you're not clear, or you haven't got a good command of the core tenses, like the present tenses, the past tense, the present perfect, and the future tenses, which I like to call the Fantastic Five. Is it five? I'm like, is it five? Yeah, I think so. I think it's five. If you haven't got good command of those, well, I'm more worried about that than whether you're saying do or make a mistake, if that makes sense. Anyways, let's crack on. We're going to start with do. And we're going to work our way through some different categories here. Now, as I said, maybe you're already aware of some of the different things or some of the different categories with do. But I'm going to try and break it down into even more categories so that hopefully it's easier to grasp, understand. Now, you might want to get a pen and a piece of paper, or I'm going to share all of the things I talk about today in the newsletter. So if you want to get your hands on that, then make sure you sign up. The link is in the description box. I'm going to share the different categories that I talk about today in the episode. So the first category is we use do with indefinite pronouns. For example, to do something, to do nothing, to do anything, or to not do anything, and to do everything. What are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm not really doing anything this weekend. I'm always doing everything. So that's category one. Category two, we use do, and I've called this category kind of general. We do things and we also do stuff. I've got a lot of things to do today. I need to do a lot of stuff this weekend, or I need to do a lot of stuff this week. Category three then, and this is probably one of the most famous categories with do, are chores and repetitive tasks. Now, chores, I basically mean things that you do around the house, you know, the annoying stuff that nobody wants to do. For example, to do the housework, to do the laundry, or to do the washing. To do the laundry is very American. I'm always going to say to do the washing. To do the dishes. Yeah, just remember that to do the washing is clothes, and to do the dishes is for plates. I've had a couple of people say, I'm going to put my clothes in the dishwasher. Or was it, I'm going to put my plates in the washing machine? I thought, well, that could be interesting. I'm not sure that's going to give you the desired outcome. To do the hoovering, to do the shopping, etc., etc. So that's one category that we can just box off right then and there. Chores, repetitive tasks, we're going to use do, except, and you may know this big exception, which is to make the bed rather than do the bed. Doesn't make sense, I know, but it is what it is. So that's one of the exceptions. The next one is the next category is being engaged in an activity. For example, to do work, to do a project, to do an exercise, or to do exercise. It could be to do an exercise as well, like as in to do an activity. To do a course, to do research, to do a presentation, if you're talking about the moment of doing a presentation, when you're delivering it, to do an exam, to do a team building session, to do a brainstorming session. So it's all about being engaged in an activity. A question that often comes up related to presentation is it do or make a presentation? Well, when we're actually in the act of it, I would probably say either to do a presentation or to give a presentation. And in fact, I would argue that give is actually a better fit. And then the next question comes up, and maybe you had this question as well. You're like, okay, but what about when you're creating the presentation? Is that do or make? Well, actually, I would probably use prepare the presentation rather than do or make. So category four was being engaged in an activity. Category five is about obligations. To do your job, you've got to do your job. To do your part, to do your share, especially if you work in a team, everybody has to do their part, otherwise things don't work. To do due diligence, for example, this is an obligation. If a company is going through a merger or an acquisition or any type of process like that, due diligence is necessary and it has to be done. It's an obligation as part of that process. The next category, category six, I've labeled bad things. For example, to do damage and to do harm. Damage can be used often things like damage reputations. So if a company has a scandal, then that does a lot of damage to their brand. Harm tends to be something that's more physical, and damage we can use for things like reputation. That's a very common collocation. The next category is morals. So the seventh category, I should say, don't worry, we'll get there. Stay with me. Now, the reason I've called this morals is because it's to do the right thing, to do the wrong thing, or to do right, or to do wrong. So it's kind of all about that moral side of things. I really feel like we're doing the wrong thing, or we need to do the right thing in this situation. Maybe that's a conversation that you have with your colleagues and you've got a couple of different options and you're like, look, we need to do the right thing. Maybe it might not be the best option for us or the most profitable option for us or whatever. I don't know, but we need to do the right thing. The next category is performance. To do something well, to do something badly. We could even include there to do your best. So maybe if you're giving feedback on performance specifically, you could say you're doing really, really well right now. Imagine you've just started your job. I'm thinking of a friend particularly who's just started a job recently, which is fantastic. And you're like, you're doing really well. Or we're not doing really well. Or actually at the moment we're doing quite badly. Or the company's doing quite badly. The ninth category is feedback. And I think this one is useful because often when we have to give feedback, we say, well, you're doing an excellent job. You're doing an excellent job. Let's leave that in there. You can see the disaster that is recording a podcast. So to do an excellent job, to do an okay job, to do a bad job. So let's put that category as feedback to help you remember it. The 10th category is testing and analysis. There's quite a few in this one, and maybe these form part of your job. For example, to do an analysis, to do an experiment, to do an investigation, to do a review, to do an audit, to do a test, to do a study, to do a survey. So I think that's a great category to try and remember all of those different ones that fit in there, testing and analysis. The next category is where we use do as an alternative to write. And this is very, very relevant for business English. For example, to do a business case, to do a report. Now, as I said before, this is not black and white because equally we could also say to write a business case or to write a report. So it just depends, but we can use do. To do a business case, to do a report, to do a contract, perhaps to do a summary, to do an overview. Now you could argue there, maybe there is an alternative to write if you were writing them, but perhaps also we could put it in the category of being engaged in an activity if we were talking about doing a summary in the moment, providing your team with a summary of something. So really we could put them maybe in a couple of categories. And what I would suggest is that these are the categories that I've come up with. Now, maybe you think, oh yeah, these totally work for me. That really helps me remember them. But if you've got a different category or if you've maybe got different category headings that would help you remember them and help you to get these to stick in your mind, then use that. You need to use something that helps you retain and remember them. So this is my way of doing it. And I've seen that it works really well with others, but maybe you've got some different categories that you want to throw in there to help you remember a little bit more. Now, as I said, there are some exceptions here. And to be honest, there's more exceptions with make. By exceptions, I just mean things that you can't put in these categories. So one that doesn't really fit, and we're going to make this category like miscellaneous, is to do a favor. Because we do favors for people, but I don't know. Some people are like, well, we could put that in the morals one because it's about doing a favor. It's about being good. So maybe if that works for you, you could put it in the moral section. Or if not, we can kind of have a miscellaneous category. And those are the ones that you just have to learn. So to sum up the do part, and we'll come back and I'll do another episode and I'll go into detail about the make categories. I've got 11 categories where you can use do to help you remember, with indefinite pronouns, in a general sense, chores, repetitive tasks, being engaged in an activity, obligations, bad things, morals, performance, feedback on work, and testing and analysis. Oh, wait, there's one more as well. And as an alternative to write. Now, I know that's a lot of information to digest. You're sure you're listening along and picking up some different things. So I'm going to put all of these different categories in the newsletter so that you can have a look at them, go away, you can copy them. Maybe you could do some different post-it notes, whatever it is that works well for you. So if you want to get your hands on that, make sure that you sign up to the newsletter before this Friday, the 19th of May at 10 o'clock in the morning, Madrid time, and I will send that across to you. Let's move on now and have a look at the business expression for this week that you maybe don't know but might come up. This has actually been on my list for a while, so I'm really happy to finally be able to talk about it. And it's a phrasal verb. It has a couple of different meanings, but one of the meanings is about to finish and complete tasks, which is why I thought, ooh, that would be a really good one, because this could definitely come up in a situation where you're talking about getting things done or things that need to be done, etc. And you're like, okay, Anna, tell me the word. So the word is box off. Now, expression, it's a phrasal verb, but well, we'll put it in the category of expression. To box something off means to complete it. Now, box off, as I said, does have another meaning. It means to kind of separate an area of space. So maybe if you're having a workshop, you might box off a certain area so that you can have a meeting or something. But well, we're not talking about that today. We're talking about tasks and completing them. Let me put it in context for you so you can see how it works here. We'll need to do the paperwork sooner or later. So let's just box it off this weekend. Or for example, there's a couple of things that I really just need to box off today. I haven't had an opportunity to do it this week and it's been on my to-do list all week, but I'm going to try and box it off this afternoon. Meaning I'm going to try and complete it this afternoon. I need to box off the final edits on this report before I send it off. There are a few things we still need to box off during this meeting, meaning there are a few things we still need to do or perhaps even take care of. It could have this meaning there as well. So what about you? Have you managed to box everything off you needed to? Now, maybe you're listening to this on the Wednesday, maybe you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday or whenever. Maybe if you're listening to it on Friday, did you manage to box everything off before you went off on the weekend? It's always a nice feeling, isn't it, when you box everything off and you're like, oh, you start everything fresh. Because otherwise you've got it on the back of your mind, right? In the back of your mind, sorry, all weekend. And you're just thinking about it and you're like, oh my God, I've got to do it on Monday. So I hope that you've been able to box everything off this week. And that is what that expression means, to complete and finish things. All right, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope you started to get a bit more of an idea about do. And as I said, we'll come on to make next time or in a couple of episodes time. If you want to get that info, it will be in the newsletter. So make sure you sign up. The link is in the description box. And I will see you again very, very soon. Thank you so much for listening and see you next week. Bye-bye.